In essence, what the Spirit of God was saying to the people of Israel and Moses is there a moment has come where you have to decide whether you're willing to repent or not. It's a moment, it's a crossroads.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome back to Straight Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joshua Halleck. Let me ask you, friends, what is the most important thing to you? As you think about your future and you think about your family and all that you would do in your life, what is the most important thing? Today, we're in Exodus chapter 33, and we're looking at the life of a man of God who was used greatly by God, and he came to a point in his life where he could have continued to go on doing good works, but he said, "No, God, I won't go if you don't go. I need your presence. I need you to go with us. You are the most important thing to me." His name was Moses, and we're in Exodus chapter 33. Pastor Mark Job from New Life Community Church is about to go into the second half of this message, "I Won't Go Without You," it's called. And as you listen today, may you realign your heart to the most important thing in all of the galaxy, the very presence of Almighty God.
In essence, what the Spirit of God was saying to the people of Israel and Moses is there a moment has come where you have to decide whether you're willing to repent or not. It's a moment, it's a crossroads in which you have to choose, will you continue to live the way you're living or will you repent and break and turn to God? The Bible says that the people of Israel began to mourn. Mourning is a sense of sorrow, a sense of grief, a sense of, like you see at a funeral where people are feeling terrible about something that they've done, or tell about the loss that they've experienced. That's mourning. Now, I want you to be clear about this. Often what we view as repentance is just being sorry that we were caught, or sorry about the consequences of our decisions. Do you know how many men I've had in my office that want to meet with me urgently and will sit down with me and will tell me how sorry they are about where their family is at, and their wife has packed her suitcase and the kids don't want to talk to him anymore, and will say, I'm just so sorry. I've been such a fool. I've been such a dummy. I didn't know that what I was losing when I went out and had that affair with that other woman, and I guess I never knew my wife would find out, and I never wanted to hurt her, and I never wanted this to happen to my kids, and I've been a dummy. I'm so sorry. I'm so broken. And oftentimes there's tears that are there. But you know what I wonder? I wonder, are you sorry right now because your wife is leaving you and because your kids are mad at you? Or are you repentant because you've grieved the heart of God and broken the heart of God and broken the vows that you had with your wife? Are you sorry because you got caught? Or are you sorry because you're turning your heart around and you would never do it again? How many of you know there's a difference? To be sorry over our consequences just means if I could do it without getting caught, I would do it again. But since I've got caught, I'm really sorry that I'm going to have to live alone right now. I'm really sorry that my in-laws are going to find out about it. I'm really sorry that my kids think I'm scum right now. I'm really sorry that I brought on all this pain. But are you really sorry that leads to repentance? Listen, real repentance means I agree with God about my sin. I'm broken before it. I know that it's wrong. I'm convicted by it. And whether anybody found out about it or not, I would still turn around from it because I want God's favor and his presence more than anything else in life. I want the favor and the presence of Almighty God. That's repentance. Moses said to the people of Israel, God will not go with us. And God said, take off your ornaments and mourn, and I will decide. What was God deciding? God was deciding how genuine their repentance was. how serious they were about repentance. I believe that the way that the presence of God is ushered back into our lives, if it's been absent for some time, it's not that God leaves us, because God is not a leaver. Oh, I like that. Hey, maybe your dad abandoned you, but God will never forsaken or abandoned you. God is not a leaver. Oh, maybe your husband left you, but listen to me. God is not a leaver. No, he's not a leaver. No, he doesn't walk away from you. He doesn't step away. You may step away from him, but he never steps away from you. God doesn't leave you. God pursues you. God chases after you. It may be your actions that push God away, but God is never the one that leaves us. We are the one that leave God. I want to be clear about that. God is not a leaver. But if you have walked into a place and are walking in a way that is pushing the presence of God away from you, because God desires to be with you, God desires to fill you, God desires to manifest his presence in your life, but if you are walking in a way that pushes away the presence of God, the only way to restore the presence of God to your life is through the portal of repentance. It's the doorway of repentance. Every major spiritual awakening that happens in our life, every major spiritual awakening that happens in a church, every major spiritual awakening that happens in a country is always preceded by intense prayer and strong repentance. Recently, I read about an event that took place at the turn of the century, 1904 to 1906. There's a small country called the country of Wales, which is in the United Kingdom, and was mainly a mining country at that time. There was a small group of people that got together to pray, and a young man by the name of Evan Roberts, who was probably no more than 18 or 19 years old at the time. They got together to pray, and Evan Roberts was so convicted about his need for God, so broken about how far away he'd fallen from God, so hungry for the presence of God, that they began to pray and call out to God that God would restore his presence to their life. This prayer meeting, when people walked in this prayer meeting, that went on and on, went through the night and into several days, and news spread that something was happening in this place, and people would visit from different parts, and the presence of God began to show up with such power that people would walk into that place and fall on their knees crying in repentance over their sin and their need and desire for God. This fire continued to burn. It wasn't the preaching, it was the prayer as people walked into the presence. And literally, 100,000 people over a 2-year period were converted to Christ and gave their life to Christ because of this prayer meeting. Repentance was so deep and so powerful that they had to fire half of the policemen because crime had dropped so low. Many of the taverns and bars in Wales closed because people weren't going to get drunk on the weekends anymore. People started returning and repenting of so many things that they had done. Many of them were minors. And part of the thing that they preached was, hey, repent and make things right before God. And so they started to return tools that they had stolen from the mining companies. In fact, they returned so many tools that there were piles 20 feet high of hammers and tools that miners were returning because they had stolen from their company, and the mining companies had to say, keep them now, stop bringing them back. And Evan Roberts preached a simple message, and he emphasized 4 things in their repentance that they must. He emphasized 4 things that they should do. He said, you must put away unconfessed sin. If there's a sin in your life that you haven't dealt with, stop holding on to it. It's time to confess it before God and repent. Stop holding on to that which pushes the presence of God away from you. Say, I've sinned. It's wrong. I'm leaving it. I've sinned. It's wrong. I'm walking away from it. Let me tell you something about walking away from sin. If it weren't meeting a need in your life, you wouldn't be doing it. But because it's meeting a need in your life, you hang on to it. When you walk away from something, even though you know it's wrong, it will be painful and difficult and hard in the beginning until you fill and meet that need in God. We all have legitimate needs that we try to fulfill in illegitimate ways. And every time you walk away from something that's filling you, even something wrong, it's hard to leave it. It draws you. It fills you. Until genuine repentance says, "It's so wrong, I will endure the pain of leaving it behind so that I can embrace the presence of Almighty God in my life. I want His presence more than I want the satisfaction of that which I'm leaving behind." Number two, not only did he say you must put away unconfessed sin, he simply said you must put away any doubtful habit. There are certain things that are not sin, but they're habits that lead us away from God. They're not bad, but you in your heart know this is not good for me. It draws me away. It makes me carnal. It pulls me away from God. Number three, he said, you must obey the Spirit promptly. In other words, no room for disobedience. If God is telling you to do something, you do it immediately. You respond to obedience rapidly. And number four, you must confess Christ publicly. You cannot be a closet Christian. You cannot just have a private faith. You have to be willing to speak about Him publicly. Evan Roberts emphasize those four things, and revival broke out in the country of Wales like a revival that we've never seen before, affecting hundreds of thousands of people and spread actually to other countries as well, simply because people started to say, I want God more than I want to hang on to my sin and what satisfied me in the past. It's the presence of God. There are some of you here today that you want God. You desire God. There's something inside of you drawing you to God. You walk into a service like this, and deep inside of your heart, you feel the pull of the presence of God. You feel like, I want to live right. I want to walk with God. I want to experience His fullness. I want to give myself to the mission of God. I want to experience the power of God. I want to be used of God. And you start to move forward, but you're bound by a leash.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled, I Won't Go Without You, which is from Pastor Mark's series called Presence. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Exodus, chapter 33. Tonight's Straight Talk is called, I Won't Go Without You.
It's the leash of that which you hang on to still, that you're unwilling to let go of. That thing that you know that God wants out of your life, but you hang on to it, and you only can go so far before it pulls you back. You go so far, but God is saying, okay, are you ready to let go of it? What do you want more, my presence or what you're hanging on to? It's a call of repentance. Number three. You will have to decide how important the presence of God and His favor is to your destiny. Verse 15, then Moses said to him, said to God, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of this earth? And the Lord said, I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. You know what Moses was saying? Moses was saying, if you don't go, I'm not going either. God, if you don't go with us, then don't send us. Because I'm not going anywhere that you won't go, God. Every time I read this passage, I think of an incident that occurred years ago at the beginning of our ministry at 44th and Palina, back of the yards neighborhood. How many of you from back of the yards? All right. started in 44th and Palina. We were just a handful of people praying that God would work and move in an extraordinary way. We were poor, we were few, and we were kind of dumb. We had to grow up a little bit. But I remember gathering together in the nursery of that little church building in 44th and Palina with about seven other people. And I remember getting on our knees in that little nursery and probably for 2 hours calling out to God. And I'm not sure what led up to this, but I remember the essence of our prayer was this: God, we don't want to go forward unless you go with us. If your presence isn't going to go, then we're not going to go. Don't call us to do anything. We're not going to lift a finger to do one more thing unless we know, God, that your presence is going to show up, because we don't want to go or do anything without your presence. And I remember crying out to God with tears streaming down our face, saying, Lord, we want your presence. And if you don't go, we won't go either. What resulted in the next few months was that at every single service that we were having, there was a fresh sense of the presence of God. People were driving in from the suburbs to this little tough neighborhood, old junky church, no parking. The auditorium didn't seat more than 120 people. People were driving an hour, 45 minutes, half hour, coming in, scared someone was going to break in their car. Coming into this church, seriously, an old, run-down little building. And when I would say, why are you traveling an hour to get here on a Sunday night for a two-hour service? You know what they would say? The presence of God. I feel God in this place like nowhere else. I feel the presence of Almighty God when I show up here in this place. I come for the presence of God. And I thought, how beautiful it is, right? That God shows up in the most unexpected places. He shows up when people are hungry and thirsty for his presence. He shows up when we're desperate and call upon his name. He shows up when we want him and need him. He shows up not to the self-sufficient, proud, those that have everything managed and contained, those that are the smartest and the brightest and the strongest, but he shows up to the weak and the broken, those that are desperate for God, those that say, God, without your presence, we can't go forward. We desperately need you, God. I never want to lose that, folks. And it's not the size of our building or the size of our budget, but the condition of our heart that keeps us in a place of desperation before God, of need before his presence, of desirous of the manifest presence of the Most High God. Moses said, unless you go, God, we're not going. We won't move without you. Leads me to my last point. A hunger for God will determine the degree and the intensity of your exposure to his presence. Verse 18, then Moses said to God, one of the most bold, outlandish, confident, outrageous prayers that someone could pray to God. He boldly stands before God and he says, God, show me your glory. What? You know what it is to ask God to show you his glory? That's suicide. The glory of God is so brilliant, powerful, magnificent. It's so overwhelming and unblemished that no human mortal being can stand before the presence of God and continue to exist. The presence of God will obliterate mortality. Only in our immortal state can we even be exposed to the brilliance of His presence. What is the glory of God? The glory of God is the brilliance of His radiance. In the Greek, it's translated doxa, which means beauty, radiance, brilliance. In the Hebrew, it's translated kabod, which means literal weight used for His glory. The glory of God is what shines from His character. It's unapproachable. It's like getting within miles of the sun and staring at the sun. No human being can stand the power of the brilliance of the Most High God. Yet Moses says, God, show me your glory. You know, when two people start to get close to one another, they want to know each other more. They tell me more. They don't want to just know the superficial. They want to go deeper. Moses was saying, God, I want to go deeper with you. I want to know more about you. And God doesn't say to Moses, what? God says, the Bible says that he was pleased with Moses. And God said, and the Lord said, I will cause my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no one can see me and live. Then the Lord said, there's a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I've passed by. So in essence, what God did is that he said, stand here, Moses. I'm going to show you everything you can handle. But if I show you too much, you can't handle it. So God begins to pass by, and he covers Moses' face as he passes by. So all Moses can see is the train of the glory of God, because if he saw God in all of his glory, he would die. And Moses saw what he could handle of the glory of God without it killing him. And listen to what God says. God says, I'm going to show you some of my glory, the outline of my glory. But when you see my glory, listen, when you see the outline of my glory, it's going to remind you of my goodness. When you see God's glory, you see how good he is. You see that out of his goodness, he does not squish us or kill us or obliterate us. That it's out of his goodness that we're not demolished before this Almighty God. That it's out of his goodness and his mercy that you and I still live. He reminds, the glory of God not only reminds him of his goodness, it reminds him of his name. He said, I will proclaim my name to you. It's a name that's above every name. There is no other name like it. At his name, all creation bows. He's a name that's high and lifted up, higher than any other being. His name has power. It has power to break chains. It has power to bring about deliverance. There is his name. His name is manifest in the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, at whose name every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And it will remind us of his sovereignty. Sovereignty means that he's high and lifted up. There is no one higher than God. He holds the future and the past and the present. He has power over all things. He is the orchestrator of our destiny. He is the creator of our future. He is the altar of plans, the raiser of nations, the putting down of kings. All of eternity lies within the hands of God. There is nothing that happens outside of his ability to change what happens. Not everything that happens on earth is God's will, but God creates the destiny of all things that happen. That's his sovereignty. God, I will not go unless you go with me.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series called Presence. And tonight was the conclusion of his series and his message called I Won't Go Without You. Please do join us again on the next Straight Talk for a brand new series. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find other helpful tools that can help you in your walk with God. Please do tell a friend about us as well. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, just contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping. If you are looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations in and around the city of Chicago. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would love to meet you. And when you come out, let us know that you heard about us from Straight Talk. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself. Thanks so much for listening. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend, and we'll see you on Monday. God bless.